You guys remember what we talked about like 2 weeks ago? We talked about cross-dressing. But we talked about community cross-dressing. We talked about being, it's weird and it's uncomfortable. And we also talked that it didn't mean what you think it means. It means perfect. It means this, to be dressed in the glory of Jesus after his resurrection. Not before, because if you're trying to dress yourself in God before the resurrection, you're going to get off into the law. You're going to get off into rules. You're going to get off into regulations. You're going to be off in all those things trying to obtain something that he already has given you freely. You must be dressed in him. A lot of people say carry your cross. I say, why not wear it? Why not wear the cross? Why not have it a part of your life? Do not compartmentalize the gospel. Allow the gospel to transform your life, your very being, and your very existence. We also learned that when you do not put on what he says put on, what God says, he says put off the old man, put on the new. As long as you're not putting on the new man, you're going to deal with the sin attitude. Your outlook's going to be in fear. You're going to have a victim mentality, a poverty mindset, and a preservation and self-hating and religion. You're going to be all about trying to preserve who you are, your image. You know, I find in the church, that's one of the biggest things that we struggle with, trying to preserve our image, who we are. Do you know there was a couple in the Bible named Ananias and Sapphira? They didn't die because they didn't give the money. They died because of their hypocrisy, because they were trying to preserve their image. When we are so focused on trying to look good for other people, trying to be seen as something, we're in this place called preservation. And the reason why we're there is because our mind. We're victimized by their opinions, and we're scared of their outlook, what they're going to think about us. But there's a place in God that he wants you to be free at. There's a place in him he really wants you to understand. He wants you to understand that when you're a child of God, your attitude is transformed. You have a different outlook. You have a confidence and faith outlook. You don't look at a mountain and say, there ain't no way that's going to happen. You look at it and say, that's an anthill. We're going to step on it. You look at it like those spies, like Joshua and Caleb, when they went into the promised land, they said, there's giants in the land. We're going to overtake it. While everyone else were like, no, they're 30-foot men. They're giants. We're not going to overtake those. But Caleb and Joshua had a different outlook. They had a winner mentality. They were going to win. God gave a promise. I'm going to have what God says I can have. I believe it. I love this one guy. He said this statement. It was hilarious. He said, I know people don't like name it and claim it, but isn't it better to name it and claim it than doubt it and do without it? We're like, well, that we understand that name. You have to name it in faith. You have to see what God says, and you speak what God is saying. If not, you're going to doubt and do without. And I'm like, you know, that really struck a chord with me. I said, wow. I said, you know, I'd rather believe. I'd rather take the stance of faith. I'd rather have my outlook match who Jesus says. I'd rather believe that he has made me a winner, because it says stand firm in his love as we sung, but stand firm in the faith and the perspective that you're not fighting to obtain victory. You're fighting from victory. See, Jesus overcame the world so you can overcome. But you're not grasping and climbing. You're already at the top of the mountain. That's where his church is started at. That's where we're at. If we do not start where Jesus finished, we're going to end very bad. And we'll be trying to make different systems, different groups, different religions of trying to finish something that Jesus completely finished. And we won't be able to love free. We won't be able to freely love. We'll always have a reason why we can't love someone. Do you know what they did to me when I was 5 years old? Yeah, get over yourself. Why can't you love again? Why can't you walk in what Jesus said walk in? The first thing he says, if you desire to follow me, Jesus said, you must lose yourself. Him that seeks to save himself loses it. But them that lose themselves, they find themselves. They find life through him. Question, do you know him and do you have life in him? And have you lost your life yet? Or the minute when something happens, do you feel offense creep in and you try to hold on to the offense? Or are you willing to say, I know who I am. I know who God is. I know who God has made me. I know what he calls me. Do you know something in scripture you will find when God gave someone a new name, it signified a transformation in that person's life and character? Through the Old Testament, we read about Abraham, who was known as Abram. Do you know what Abram did back in the day? This is an awesome story. Abram, his history was, he was an idol maker. And God called him. Do you understand what kind of idols he made? You got to really look at this. They would sacrifice children to these idols. This is the type of idol worship Abram had. It was not uncommon to see people carrying their babies and children and sacrificing them on the altar. This is where God called Abram at. And he said, Abram, I'm going to take you from a place of slaughtering children, and you're going to be called Abraham and be a father of many nations. It means exalted father. God took a man who was slaying babies and made him into a father of many nations. There was a transformation in his character. There was a transformation that went on when he had faith in who God says he is. We read in Colossians 3:12. This is the verse we're going to focus on. And we read this 2 weeks ago. And we talked about putting off and putting on. And remember I told you what robe means? Robe means enduo. Enduo means to be clothed, to be wrapped in, to be immersed, to be submerged. It means all that. So we're going to read this real quick. And we're going to talk about being wrapped in something new. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself, enduo yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Now, we try to take on those characteristics because a lot of times we try to get the Bible. We try to have the Bible in front of us, read it, and try to live what we read. And we learn about it so we can think on it more and live what we read. Instead of agreeing with God, what God has done for us. It says in scripture, if any man is in Christ, he is new. New. When did that happen? Did it happen when you picked your Bible up? Or did it happen when Jesus got inside of you? A lot of times we think if we pick our Bibles up, we will become the new. But it actually says in scripture, when you asked Jesus to come in, you got born again. You became something new. Who remembers being a child and it was Christmas and you had a present underneath the Christmas tree? And all your job was to do as a child was to what? Receive the gift, unwrap the gift, take the toy out of the package, and play with it. That was your job. That was all you had to do. You had to say, thank you, Mom and Dad. Yay, I got the Game Boy. I mean, it was Game Boy back in the day, but now it's like a Nintendo Switch. But that was your job. Do you know with God it's the same way? You have received the gift of God. How do I know it's true? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So it's in him I have the gift. And our job as believers is to do one thing with the gift. Unwrap it, take it out of the package, and play with it. Do you know God's fun? He's joyful. He's full of laughter. He sings over us. Our job is to see what God has made us. That means if the gift of God is inside of me, then it's my job to, when I look at scripture, it's not to be transformed into it. It's for me to be unraveled in what I've become. The transforming part of the renewing of your mind. Notice it says the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say and making your mind as if it wasn't already. It says renewing, to redo again, to rethink, to reshape what's already been formed. So it's my job to open the word and see what I've become. It's like looking into a mirror and I'm seeing a reflection and I'm no longer saying that's not my reflection. I'm accepting what God has made me. Wouldn't it have been foolish for Abraham to say, Abram, God says, Abram, your name is not going to be Abram anymore. It's going to be Abraham. And Abraham would have said, I don't think so, God. My dad and mom named me Abram. All my life, I have been known as Abram. You're going to change my name to Abraham? Anybody read that Dr. Seuss book, Green Eggs and Ham? Abraham's like, I do not want green eggs and ham. I don't want it over here or over there. But his name got changed. It would have been foolish for Abraham to say, God, no, that's not who I am. And God says, Abraham, you're a father of many nations. And him to say, I'm that old dude who sacrificed and made idols and children were being sacrificed on those altars. And I'll challenge you, do your research and read about it. It's pretty exciting how God likes to flip things. He takes the person who is making the altars and the idols and he flips and transforms them into an instrument so that the Messiah can come through. God wants to do the same with you and me here. He wants to take who we once were, who we once are. He wants to take that and completely erase that old identity and give you a brand new one that's in him. When it says to be robed, have you been robed with a new name? Or are you still knowing yourself after your former actions and what people formerly called you as? Or have you been known now by God, by someone new? What do names reveal in the Bible? They reveal your character. They reveal your identity. They reveal your relationship. They reveal your purpose. I have it right here. When God gives you a new name, it reveals your identity. The unveiling of your identity reveals your relation. When Abram got called Abraham, and his wife got a new name too, because God said, the two shall be one. So it wasn't just right for God to name Abraham and not rename the wife, because he said in scripture, the two shall become one, body and soul. So he gave her a new name from Sarai to Sarah. And guess what? If Abraham was the exalted father, what do you think Sarah meant? Exalted mother. Absolutely. So God did that, and it revealed something. First of all, it revealed their identity. This is who you are. It also revealed their relation. The relation to who? From God, because God named him. Let me tell you something. How many parents named their children? I named mine. Well, me and my wife both named. We both. He's prophesying a new one. Yes, God. But the parents named the children. When God gave them a new name, he was signifying, I am your father and I am naming you. That name revealed the relation. The relation gives way to the function. What is the purpose of Abraham now being called that? Because he's going to be a father of many nations. And then it reveals the purpose. The purpose of it all was to reveal who God is and that the Messiah can come through, because it was the revealing of Christ. That's why the Jewish people would say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Jesus stepped on the scene and the Pharisees were questioning him about his father, they said, we know who our father is, but we don't know who your father is. What they were really saying to Jesus, just to be plain, they were saying, Jesus, you're a bastard. You don't have a father. if I do recall in history, your mother came back from her cousin's house and a baby was there. And we all know Joseph isn't the daddy. So if they were on the Murray show, when it comes to Jesus, Joseph, you are not the father. It's the truth. But Jesus said to the Pharisees when they tried to call him something indirect, he said, before Abraham, your father, was, I am. That signified, I am, that I am, that I was with him in the beginning, I was with him now, and I'm presently with him in the future. John wrote and said, in the beginning was the Word, signifying Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus signified that I am that Word, I am. Which means Jesus was really saying to the Pharisees, I'm your daddy. That's what he was saying. Who's, you guys want to call me that? But guess what? I'm your daddy. Matter of fact, I'm Abraham's daddy. That's what he was saying. I mean, they totally got owned in that moment. And that's the reason why they had such a fit. Now, as scripture teaches, when God reveals a name to us about himself, it reveals all these. It reveals God's character, God's purpose, God's function. How do I know it's true? Well, in the Old Testament, he was called Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord our provider. Or you can call him Yahweh Jireh, which is another way of saying Jehovah Jireh. Depending on if you really want to be a Jewish scholar and study that way, or if you're just going to use what has been known as the English translation. And it means the Lord wants to provide. Do you actually know what that name actually means? Jehovah Jireh. It's fun. Anyone ever seen a mother kitten, a mother cat with all the kittens? I've seen that before. And what usually happens when all those kittens get hungry, what do? They mound, they go to the mother, and they latch on and start nursing. And they're like, and they fight over it. Did you ever see the little cats fight over it? And that mom's just laying there. I'm like, that looks very uncomfortable. And then you rub the mother cat's head and she'll go, pfft. It's the way God made them. Do you know Jehovah Jireh means just like that? It means him of many breasts. Did you know that? He wants you to treat him as little children, as little kittens treat a mother cat, and come and find your nourishment, your nutrition, everything in me and from me. He says, will you latch on to me? You're like, I don't know about that, Tap. I don't know about that. That's a little far-fetched for me. But Jesus was sitting on top of a mountain with his disciples, and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Long have I wanted to gather you like a mother hen would gather her chicks. Jehovah Jireh. And it revealed the relationship we have with God. It revealed a function that God does. And it revealed the purpose of it all. And we study names of God. Prince of Peace, being Jesus. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. El Shaddai, the Lord who's all sufficient. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. And I find many Christians know the names of God. People even know the names of Christ. Lamb of God. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Root of Jesse. The Bright and Morning Star. The Rose of Sharon. I love these names of Jesus. One day I thought about getting them all tattooed on my back. People are like, what's going on with you? I have Jesus' names all over my back, man. If I offended you with the tattoo, guess what? Do you know in Revelations, it says this, that Jesus will give you a tattoo in heaven and it'd be right on the middle of your forehead and it will be a new name. And you will wear that for all eternity. So says the word of God in scripture. But we find that we know these names of God and Jesus, but when it comes to knowing our names, do we know what God calls us? Do you know what God calls his church, his bride? Do you know that? We don't really look into what God calls us. We understand individually we're called children of God. But do we understand collectively of what we are. And these are just a few of them. I have a whole bigger list, but these are a few. He calls us the Mount of Zion. Do you know what's so significant about Mount Zion? Well, let's go back in the Old Testament. Mount Zion was a place before, it was also known as the City of David. It's where David set up the Davidic worship center. That's really what it was, where he had the altar. And the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, was not covered in a temple. It was open for all to gaze on. And it was known as Mount Zion. It also meant a seat of authority in government. And God now calls his church, the body of Christ, Mount Zion, according to Hebrews 12 and 22. It is said that you have came unto Mount Zion, unto the city of God, unto the city of angels. You're like, hold on, Tap. Is this accurate? Jesus said, you'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of God. And who are you? I ask myself a question. Who am I? What am I believing about who I am? And is this belief based on what God says or what I think about myself? Is it based upon what other people are saying or what God says about me? Who am I? Well, if you would only look at your name, it would reveal. He calls us Mount Zion, which is a place of worship. Then you wonder why they had this conversation with the Samaritan woman, if I'm not mistaken. And she was talking with Jesus, and they said, the Jews say that we should worship in the temple, but we worship on the mountain. And Jesus responds to her. This is why she said that. When you were Samaritan, that doesn't mean that you didn't know anything Jewish. You were actually half Jewish and half Gentile. Samaritan. And they didn't like them at all. The Jewish people were like, no, you can't be that. Tell them I put that in my coffee. Half and half. So the thing was, she understood that. And Jesus said, woman, I tell you, the day is coming in which they will not worship God in there or that mount, but the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Because in spirit, you guys are children of God, and you've become a mountain of Zion, and you are a house of worship. Your very breathing existence is a worship to God. Did you know that? By me just sitting here breathing, I'm worshiping God. We usually think it's an act of when we are engaging into doing something. But actually, your existence is a worship to God. Because God willed it so. Did you will yourself here? No. I'm here because it tells me in my Bible that from the foundation of the world, Christ died for me. And it tells me before I was in my mother's womb that he knew me. And those that he foreknew, he predestined. And those he predestined. Oh, I love scripture. He predestined me. He knew about me. He numbered every hair on my head. He loves me. Oh, wow. God really cares. He really loves and cares about me. And then we see in Peter, we're called people of God. What does that even mean? These are names of the church. People of God, Mount Zion. We're called the temple of God, the household of God, God's building, God's field, the church of God. These are all names given to us from God. And if we don't know our names, we will not know our identity. We will not know our relation. We will not know our function, and we will not know our purpose. Have you looked into what your name is? Have you discovered what God calls you? Who he sees you as and what he says about you? Because everything he says is true. Have you discovered that yet? Have you unraveled the gift of God in you? Listen. He put a gift inside of you, and I'm not talking about the prophetic in tongues. I'm talking about himself living in you. Scripture says that the fullness of God was in Christ Jesus in bodily form. And where's Jesus living at now? And where? And where? You said God. I agree, he's in God. Who says in me? Yeah. It's Jesus too, buddy. He says, I'll leave behind my spirit, spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the... So you're telling me the truth is going to leave behind a spirit of... Now that's a conundrum, isn't it? Yeah, but it's true. Because God is so great. So if Jesus lives in you, then the fullness of God is where? In you. But if you don't know you have it, you'll never access him. If you do not know your identity, you won't ever access God from the inside. Did you know that? God is in heaven, but guess where heaven's at? We're everywhere God's at. If you take God out of heaven, then that ain't heaven, buddy. He's the reason why it is heaven. And if God lives in me, then I must get to know God and who he is and everything about him and what he says about me that's inside of me. So then I can have access to what? Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. We learned earlier this year that the kingdom of God is God's dominion, God's reign, God's provision, God's way. I won't access any of those if I don't realize that God's in me and the fullness of God's there. According to scripture, not according to tap. But if I believe it, then it is now, yay. Have you unraveled who you are in him? Have you unwrapped that yet? If we're not unwrapping this individually at home with our families, we won't be able to unwrap it here together collectively. Before you're in the room with someone else, I already am the temple of God. Before I assemble myself with other believers, I'm already in the household of faith. I'm already a mountain of Zion. Angels are already descending and ascending upon us. Have you ever heard when people get together, they form this thing called what? Synergy? You heard that before? Collectively, a group. Do you know Jesus actually gives way to that in scripture? He says, listen, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. And whatsoever they ask shall be given unto them. Where two or three are gathered. I wonder if that looks like a representation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Holy Communion. Whatever they ask will be given. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose. I was in this prayer meeting earlier this week, and it was hilarious. Is Mark here? I'm looking. I don't see Mark. I see his wife. Well, you can tell Mark that I'm telling on him. So Mark, me, and Diana were here in a prayer meeting. It was three of us. And we're praying. And by the time we got done, we were like on the floor laughing and rolling around. Not literally rolling on the floor. That was a figure of speech. But we were cracking up so much because we enjoyed God so much and praying together and watching the Spirit of God just begin to reveal things to us. And it's like, wow, this is what Jesus meant when he said, when you come together, when you assemble together, when you see what you are, when you can see me and you, and you can see me and other people, when you guys do that, guess what happens? The purpose of the church begins to be revealed unto the world. Not only unto the world, but to us. Jesus said that the world would know you are my disciples by your what? Your love for one another. If you're not assembling, if you're not in love with God and then being in love with you, you'll never be in love with no one else. As much as you'll try, you won't be. Because you don't know how to love you. But when you learn how to love you, you can then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And for the married people, that means all of you. Your spouse. The one that leaves the toilet seat up. Or down. loving all this. Because the Bible says that two become one. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when we do that, we realize that we walk into a place of understanding our function with God. And it all comes from a place of knowing our name. Jesus never questioned who he was as he walked on earth. Never. Never did he question, was he the Son of God? Never did he question, was he the Lamb? Never. You'll say, but tap, tap, tap. When he was in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if you can remove this cup, let it be removed. But nevertheless, your will be done. And you'll see, I'm like, yeah, but he was saying, if we can, is there an option we didn't think about? Because I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to be separated, and I don't want to be cursed. And God wasn't cursing his son on the tree. He was cursing sin. Because scripture says, curses anything who hangs on a tree. And that's very important to understand that in Jewish culture. So do you know who you are? Do you know your name? Do you know what God calls you? Do you know why he calls you that? I'm going to challenge you guys. In your alone time with him, I want you to ask God, what's my name? What do you call me? And then I want you guys to accept what he calls you. You're like, but my actions don't look like what you're saying, God. When will you let his word be bigger than your actions and allow his word to transform your actions? Bow your heads. Wherever your head is bowed, if you never made a commitment to want to know Jesus, to actually be named by God, to be a part of the household of faith, I want to give you an opportunity right now. You say, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I never experienced nothing like that. I just want you to raise your hand. Awesome. You can put your hand down now. And as a body of believers, the scripture says this. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then it goes on and says this. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The only way you're going to know his love and know the life that he wants to give you is in Christ. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, which is to be made whole, to be delivered, to be healed, to have life in him. And you say, this is something I want today, then I'm going to challenge you. It says in the Bible that whatever comes out of a man's mouth comes from his heart. So when you speak it out, you're releasing faith. And it's God's job to make it real. So I'm going to challenge you today. If you say, well, I want this, I want you to repeat after me. And everyone in this building, let's repeat this together with them so they're not alone. Say, Jesus, I believe. You're the Son of God. I believe you died for me and you rose again. I believe who you say you are. I give you my life. I ask that you come into my heart. Reveal yourself to me and fill me up with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In your name. Amen.